Okay, we're going to push on here because we need to end on time. So if you'll all take your seats, those of you who are staying. We have two more talks, and the first is by Joel.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Roger, for including me in the program. So this is going to be an entirely empirical paper, so we can maybe relax and maybe enjoy ourselves a bit more. So this is not per se a paper on coordination and expectations. It's a paper that connects to the program in that it illustrates how beliefs and information can be heterogeneous across the investor population. So it's a paper that tries to understand how belief heterogeneity comes into play and how the mass media play a role in shaping these beliefs. So the media have been at the center of much research in finance recently. I just listed some articles. This is not really, don't have time to go into a literature review. Another, I think, important role of the media, which is not listed here, which was absolutely in connection with the conference today, is the role of the media as a coordinator of beliefs. I think the media plays an important role in that way, but I think to date there's hardly any research, empirical research, on how the media actually does this, and the paper I'm going to talk about today is not about the media as a coordinator. Again, it's about the media as a diffuser of information. So it's not obvious for the mass media to play any role in finance. If you think about textbook financial markets, there's actually no role for the media. After all, the news that's published in the media typically comes with a long delay. If you think of newspapers, it comes the next day, oftentimes. So this is still information. So you will not expect it to affect asset prices. If the news comes out on a Tuesday and the newspaper publishes on the Wednesday morning, then the news will be in the price on the Tuesday as soon as one single investor with unlimited access to capital would read the news and trade on it. Because there should be no role for the media. And yet, when you look at a host of financial studies, there's a lot of evidence that, well, we're not in textbook financial markets. The market, or investors in general, tend to underreact at times to news, overreact at other times. So in such settings, it's conceivable that the mass media may have an impact. So this is what I'm going to argue in the paper. Identifying the role of the media empirically is quite a challenge. And the challenge is that media is endogenous to financial markets. So if you want to say anything that's causal, go beyond correlation or mere association and claim that the media causes or doesn't cause any reaction in the market, you need to deal with this endogeneity problem. So let me illustrate what the problem is about. If you run a simple regression model of some kind of market outcome that you're interested in, say, it could be stock returns, it could be stock prices, it could be trading volume, it could be some kind of correlation measure, volatility, whatever is your interest. So this is on the left-hand side, which is this is the market variable. And if you suppose you regress this on some kind of measure of media activity, again, this could be anything you're interested in. It could be media coverage, whether the stock is in the media. It could be some measure of the content of an article. You know, is it a bullish or bearish article? Is it ambiguous or certain article, and so on and so forth. So whatever is it a biased article? So whatever you have in mind. So you run a regression of this market variable on the media variable, and you examine the slope coefficient, which is highlighted in blue with the letter B on the slide. So this B would capture the impact of the media. So B is in fact a measure of the correlation between the stock market activity and the media activity, but it doesn't capture any causal impact. And the reason that is, as I said, that the media is endogenous. The most, serious issue is that of omitted variables. There could be a common variable that drives both stock market activity and media activity. Let's call it news. The market reacts to news. That's good, independently of the media. It's good news, the stock prices go up. And the media, newspapers and so on, report on news. So both of them are driven, both the market and the media are driven by this common unobserved variable, which is news. So it looks like, so in practice, the media and the market are associated, they are correlated, but it's not the case that the media causes any market reaction. Another issue is reverse causality, in which it's actually there is a causal relationship between the media and the stock market, but it doesn't run from the media to the stock market, but the other way. It's the stock market that actually triggers a reaction of the media. Exceptional stock market movement may be reported in the news the next day or anything like this. Okay. So these are two illustrations of issues, statistical issues, that hamper the interpretation of such a regression as being causal. Okay. So if you want to deal with that issue, if you want to figure out whether the media has any causal impact on the stock market, you're going to have to find a way of generating variation in media activity that is unrelated to the stock market, and then look at whether the stock market reacts differently as a function of this different media activity. So this is what this paper is about. And so what the paper uses as exogenous stock exogenous variations in media activity are labor strikes at media outlets. So specifically, labor strikes in newspapers. So this is an illustration of such an event in 1899. The newsboys in the U.S. So these are the boys who used to deliver the newspapers in New York went on strike. This was a very long strike that's lasted several weeks and actually led to improvements in the conditions of life of these boys, which actually lived really a miserable life from all the accounts. And this has actually, it's an event that has struck into the public, and then there's been a movie and even a musical on these newsboys. So this event, this is the type of event that will be in the sample. This specific event is not in the sample because I don't go back that far and I don't consider the US. I'll explain my sample very shortly. What I have in my sample is labor strikes, for example, in France. France is a great country if you're interested in strikes. So a few years back, a French entrepreneur called Xavier Niel acquired Le Monde, which is the French leading newspaper, and vowed to restructure it, to break the unions that were constantly calling for strikes at the newspaper. So this is Xavier Niel at the top, and the printers who are awaiting him welcoming him. And at the bottom, we have the strikers who are blocking access to a newspaper stand so that people can't get the news. Okay, so these are the type of events I'm going to consider. Okay, so I'm going to exploit strikes that prevent readers from receiving news. These are going to be nationwide strikes that affect many newspapers. And to identify these events, I've searched OECD countries over the period from 1989 to 2010. So I've collected data from a news aggregator called Factiva. And I found strikes concentrated in four countries: France, Greece, Italy, and Norway. So I've excluded strikes that occur on non-business days because I want to measure the impact of the strike on the stock market on the very same day. And I've excluded strikes that are general strikes that have affected multiple sectors to make sure I'm talking about the media strike rather than just a general strike. So I find 52 strikes altogether. And I'm going to argue that these strikes are exogenous to stock market activity on the strike day. Most of the time, they're caused by journalists, printers, print workers or distribution workers in reaction to planned policy changes. Oftentimes, it has to do to the economic conditions related to their employment. So employment, pay, pensions, tax breaks, or state subsidies that these professions may receive. So whenever the government plans to change these, they call strikes. And sometimes these strikes are called to fight censorship, to defend the freedom of the press, in particular in Italy and under Berlusconi. Many strikes were perceived as infringing on freedom of the press. So these strikes, because of the reason why what generates them, are by and large exogenous to stock market activity on the strike day. They're sometimes non-economical at all, such as the latter one, but sometimes, even those that are related to economic conditions have nothing to do with the way the stock market behaves on that particular day, which is the strike day. Okay. So this is the list of strikes I have in the sample.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean that these strikes are unrelated to the way the stock market behaves on the strike day. right?
So I guess that the question is whether those strikes were announced or not on the public media before strike day.
Right. So most of the time, from what I can tell, these strikes are not announced because these are strikes that are countrywide. So for example, in France, it's the entire press that is shut down, and this requires some, some degree of coordination between the unions, but at the same time, we need just to take the owners, publishers by surprise so that they can't set up alternative printing schemes or things like this. So I'm not sure actually whether they are explicitly whether each of them is a surprise or not. Okay, but even if it is anticipated, if the strike is anticipated, I don't think this would invalidate the fact that these are exogenous to stock market behavior on the strike day. Okay, so what we need is that there's no mechanical relationship between the way the stock market behave and the media activity, right?
So the stock market doesn't react to...
But that's the purpose. I'm going to show you that it actually does react. That's the purpose of the paper, right?
So if the government announces generic cuts, austerity cuts, for example, this would drive probably down the stock market, and it would increase the probability of a strike.
It's possible. So suppose that the government announces that job cuts in newspapers, the stock market may react on the announcement day, but the strike day itself is not the announcement day. So the news would be in the potentially the news would be. So suppose the government on Monday announces they're cutting employment in the French press, the stock market perhaps may react on the Monday. I do not know. I don't look at this, and then unions call for. And industrial action, say, on the first day. And then what I'm claiming here is that the announcement of the Monday does not predict the way the stock market should react on the first day.
So you mean that the innovation stock market on the day is uncorrelated with the fact that there is a strike on the day?
Right, That's exactly what I want. So that when I look at the way the stock market behaved on the strike day, if I do observe anything unusual, I can attribute it to the industrial action, to the fact that on that day, newspapers are shut down and readers cannot access the news. Right? And in support for this, I'll show you later. Well, let me not get ahead. I'll show you some results in support of this exogeneity assumption. Okay. It's a simple paper. I'm just going to look at what happens in the stock market on strike days. Is there anything different from other days, from non-strike days? Okay, I'm going to look at various variables. I'm going to look at turnover on the stock market, which is basically a measure of trading activity. I'm going to look at various volatility measures, the absolute value of the close-to-close market return, the price range, which is in fact the high low, the ratio of the high price within the day to the low price within the day, and the cross-sectional measure of dispersion of return. To what extent are returns very across stocks very close to one another, or are they dispersed? Okay. So this is what I find. So this is an event study. Day zero is the strike day, and I compare what happens on day zero to other days. Within a 100-day window, so 50 days before and 50 days after day zero. Okay, so on the strike day, turnover goes down. This is what this number says. On the strike day, on average, turnover is down by 12%. This is on average, and the median is about the same, 13%. Okay, and this is highly statistically significant, and this is quite remarkable. The statistical significance is quite remarkable, given that I have a very few number of observations actually to identify this event. Absolute returns are no different. Returns themselves are no different on the strike day. Okay, but then the price range goes down. That means the prices are less extreme on strike days. Okay, so this is the ratio of high prices to low prices. And finally, returns are less dispersed on the strike day. This is the cross-sectional dispersion of returns. So returns seems to be more driven by a common factor on the strike day. Okay. So this is all, this is equally weighted. So this is an aggregate analysis of the stock market in these striking countries. And these are equally weighted returns, turnover, and so on. If I do value weighted, I have no impact at all. Okay, so this suggests that these effects seem to be more prominent among the smaller stocks and not so strong among the bigger stocks. So this is the on-strike days, in contrary to my knowledge, which the knowledge is media strikes do not affect the stock market. On-strike days, the stock market reacts differently from non-strike days. On-strike days, turnover is lower, price range and dispersions fall. Okay, so I find, and so I've conducted various robustness checks, in particular, these effects are concentrated on the strike day itself. If you look at the day before, the day after the strike, there's nothing at all. No turnover and so on are no different than on the other 100 days within the window. If I exclude each country by one to make sure that the effect is not driven by say a world or European factor or something like this, I find that if I look at what happened say in Italy on the day France is on strike, there's nothing at all in the Italian stock market. There's nothing in neighboring countries. This is what I just said. Okay, and I exclude each country by one by one, so the effect is not driven by a single country. You may wonder so some of the strikes are triggered by print and distribution workers. Others are triggered by journalists. And recently there's been the rise of the internet and the availability of newspapers online. And you may wonder how this affects the results. So presumably, if the newspaper is available online, then when the print workers and the distribution workers go on strike, the strike should have less of an impact. The newspaper is available online. Okay? Whereas if it's journalists that are striking, the newspaper is not available online since there's no content. Okay? So if you if I drop strikes that occur after 96, which is the year in which the French leading newspaper Le Monde had this online edition. I choose Le Monde because this is the newspaper which has the most print and distribution workers. So if you drop these printer strikes that occur at the time of the internet, then the magnitude of the strike effect is reduced as you would expect. Still there, but it is reduced, suggesting that the print and distribution workers are less effective in disrupting the access to news at the time of the internet. The internet is a substitute, basically, for the print edition. I also look at panel regression. I get similar results. And finally, I do two out-of-sample tests that find similar results. So the first out-of-sample test is carried out in the US. The US is not in my sample simply because over that time period, there was no national newspaper strike in the US. It's a huge country, so that's not so surprising. However, there are various local strikes that I can exploit. So using a data set of trades by retail investors at a large online broker that covers the period 91 to 96, I look at how retail investors trade when their local newspaper strikes. So over that period of time, there's been three newspaper strikes in US cities, one in Detroit, one in Pittsburgh, and one in San Francisco. So I look, say, at the way people located in San Francisco trade on the day the San Francisco newspapers are on strike. And I find that on these days, these retail investors trade less than in the rest of the country. So the benefit of this test is that it allows, compared to the primary tests I've shown you, is that it allows to control for worldwide or so general factor that would affect the way people trade on that specific day. Because I'm comparing the way the retail investor trades in San Francisco to the way they trade in the rest of the US on the very same day. So I can neutralize any shock to trading activity on that specific day. Okay, and so this confirms these initial results. There's a second out-of-sample test that's based on a different data set of labor strikes that basically delivers the same results. Okay, what happens across stock size groups. I pointed out that the results I've shown you were present when stock market variables were equally weighted, but not when they're value weighted, which indicates that these effects tend to be concentrated in larger stocks. So this is what I'm checking here. If I sort stocks into five groups according to their size, and I look at each of these variables, I find that the impact of strikes declines with stock size, as expected, for turnover and for dispersion. It stays roughly uniform for the price range, so it's there. It's pervasive across size groups in terms of if you look at the price range. And it's marginally significant for the absolute return in bottom quintile and insignificant otherwise. Okay? So how should we interpret these results? This is the interpretation I offer. The fact that the first two facts are the following. Turnover falls about 12% on average on strike days, and this effect vanishes for the larger stocks. Intraday volatility falls by 7%, and this effect is roughly stable across size groups. So this is the sign that some investors, presumably retail investors, but we don't know, but presumably, some investors are deterred from trading on strike days. This is why trading volume goes down. And the fact that intraday volatility is affected across size groups is also an indication these are retail investors. Because if you think about it, if you think that the people who trade at the most unfavorable prices are retail investors, the high-low are going to persist across size groups. So even among the largest stocks, the most extreme prices are going to be most likely triggered by trades from retail investors. And even in the largest stocks, these guys are moving out of the market on newspaper strike days, which leads the price range to be lower even among the bigger stocks. Okay, so this would explain why the fall intraday volatility is uniform across size groups. The last two facts are that the absolute value of market return is unaffected except marginally the bottom size quintile. And the dispersion falls and this effect vanishes with big stocks. So this suggests one interpretation is that investors ignore firm-specific shocks. And this would be consistent with theories of rational inattention that suggests that investors that are allocated are endowed with a fixed attention capacity choose optimally how to allocate this capacity to various items. At a time in which information is more scarce because newspapers are not available, agents decide to allocate their scarce attention to the news that is common to the largest number of stocks, i.e. market-wide news, perhaps industry-wide news or something like this, but they tend to ignore firm-specific news because it requires as much attention but for much less benefit since it can only be applicable by definition to one specific stock. So there's much theory on rational attention. So these results are consistent with this. Dispersion goes down. Our stocks tend to co-move more together on newspaper strike days, suggesting that these investors ignore firm-specific news on these days. So the results indicate that the media stimulate, I would argue, cause trading, and they influence stock price movements within the day and in the cross-section. Okay. And to conclude, one last piece of evidence, I'm just going to say in words. If indeed stock prices are shaped by newspaper strikes, suppose, for example, that there's a strike on a Wednesday that prevents news that came out on the Tuesdays to be incorporated on the Wednesday stock return. Okay, so news on Tuesday. Normally, the newspapers come out on the Wednesday morning, so that news gets into the stock price on the Wednesday. If there's a strike, no newspapers come out on the Wednesday, so the Tuesday news cannot find its way into the Wednesday price. But then eventually, the newspaper comes out on the Thursday. So you should expect that the Tuesday's news that was sort of left out on Wednesday because of the newspaper strike eventually is incorporated into prices on the first day when the newspapers come out. Okay? And this is exactly what I find in the data. If I run a regression of returns, so it's what I find in the data for small stocks, which are the ones that are affected by newspaper strikes. There's no such thing, no such symmetric effect for big stock. If I run the regression of small stock returns on day T on the lag small stock return, and the lag interacted with a strike dummy, a dummy that is zero all the time except equal to one on the strike day, then I find that this is what we have on the second panel, that so this is the first day return regressed on the Wednesday return and the Tuesday return. Okay, so So the news on the Tuesday eventually finds its way into the Thursday stock price. This is what this says. And then here, the return on the Wednesday regressed on the Tuesday. So the Tuesday return is not in the Wednesday return. Okay, so again, in words, what this says is that the market misses a beat on the strike day, the Wednesday, but eventually catches up, and the Tuesday news finds its way into is eventually incorporated in the stock price when the newspapers come out again. Okay, so I'm done. And basically what this study shows is that the mass media newspapers contribute to trading, causes trading. They influence the stock price movements in the cross-section and within the day, but they have very limited aggregate impact. And the media, this says that the media propagate information, and so the investor population is heterogeneous, and the media contributes to informing them and to this heterogeneity. Okay, and this effect seems to be particularly strong for firm-specific information and for stocks held by retail investors. Thank you.